Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in studio Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And we're back with number 15 of our play types. And I figured this one out ahead of time, Lisa.
Good.
We're on
you want to be the boss of this
one? Well, I think I'll start role play. Role play is when you sit on your on the floor with your legs spread like in a V, and then you roll a ball back and forth.
That's exactly what role play is.
So role play is about rolling balls because kids love to roll balls.
It's
and
also
other stuff.
About being on top of a hill and laying being like down, a log roll,
yeah,
and rolling down the hill.
Yeah, role play.
Not.
Oh man, I thought I had one. Okay, so what is it really?
Role play is play.
Think about if the play types were really that specific.
How awesome would that be?
And how is this role being spelled?
Well, I had to check.
Right, it's a role that you buy at a bakery.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
It's a cinnamon roll.
This is episode.
Oh, sorry.
This is episode 4073
of the play types.
Yeah.
So no, what is this? It's really only episode 15. And in case you're new, we have been doing a little bit of a reminder in the front of each one. The play types are there 16 of them. They were developed by Bob Hughes in 1996. He had a book called A Playworker's Taxonomy of Play Types. And a couple of reminders in case it's your first time. And if it's not your first time, you know exactly what I'm going to say. The list is always evolving, should never be assumed to be complete. And also, it's typical that you would see more than one type of play happening at the same time. In episodes previous, we have discussed symbolic play, rough and tumble play, socio-dramatic play, social play, creative play, communication play, dramatic play, locomotor play, deep play, exploratory play, fantasy play, imaginative play, mastery play, object play, and now role play.
That's R-O-L-E.
Correct.
Not the food.
Not the kind I thought it was. Not the R.
Which is play exploring ways of being, although not formally of an intense personal, social, domestic, or interpersonal nature. For example, brushing with a broom, dialing with a telephone, driving a car. And because we are who we are who we are, I was like, Jeff, you need to Google this to get some more information because all I see is it's when kids are verbing the noun.
That's naughty.
No, I know. No, the naughty was frisky.com, which is what also came up if you Google
this is naughty.
Role play.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, darling.
I close my eyes.
After the podcast, you want to go over to my place and verb
my
noun?
Just say yes. It'll keep us moving ahead.
Yes.
Do good improv. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, and... I Googled play types and role play and came up with something called frisky.com with 30 suggestions. So
and downloaded in 120,000 countries.
Yeah, so
the word frisky came to when you said it. I thought
the
of
cat food.
Yes, I thought the cat food. No.
And it had nothing to do with this kind of play.
Yeah, but I mean, some of you out there in podcast land might want to check that out.
Not frisky.com.
You know I'm talking to you. If you think I'm talking to you, you know I'm talking to you.
You know I'm talking to you.
I'm not gonna. Oh man, I want to say a couple names.
No, don't.
I know I'm not going to. So where are we with
you
this?
You said what? No, but the criteria you had from that trying on.
Okay, so it's like they're in this type of play. Kids are trying on things to see what it feels like. What it feels like to be a driver, or what it feels like to be sick, or it feels like to be asleep, or even dead was any of the examples. So they're trying things on. It's not mom driving the car. It's driving the car. And so it doesn't have that intense social bit of the play that sociodramatic has. It's just the doing of the thing.
So I have a thought, and I want you to pick it apart, and I'm ready for you to pick it apart. Montessori often said that work was the child's play, and play was the child's work. And Montessori provided a lot of opportunities for children to just do stuff that then children approached with a playful attitude, such as washing the dishes and sweeping the floor and cleaning the table. So I'm wondering if on some level this is children just doing life things with a playful spirit, or not even that they're saying, hello, I'm approaching this with a playful spirit, but I'm just doing it and I have no negative thing towards it. So maybe because I don't have a negative thing that I'm leading with, I can automatically default to it being some kind of a positive, i.e. playful thing.
Well, yeah.
Can you go there?
You mean like wipe? I'm not sure where there is. You mean like wiping the table after dinner?
Like
that type thing? Or
what? Okay, so maybe where I'm coming from is that in the past I've noticed that if you say to a child, I need you to do this because we have to clean up, there's resistance. But if I just give them the broom, they're like, oh, shit, I get the broom. They'll sweep the daylights out of the classroom. Mm-hmm. But if I frame it as though it's something I expect, or that it's a chore, or that it's a job, there's a mindset that, like, gets in the way. But if it's just like, hey, use this tool.
Yes.
And
I'm not sure there's an and. The only yes.
Do you not notice, like, we gave Bug the other day, I said, here, go wipe the table.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I
and
totally.
And she wiped the table. But if I had said, you have to wipe the table before you're able to.
Yeah, and that's overstating what you need them to do anyway. That's adding more to the sentence or more to the thing.
I'm just wondering if this is potentially the play type where the whole work as play and play as their work might.
Yeah. My head goes back to Peter Gray and the definitions of play. Does that fit in there? Is it really self-selected?
Well, a lot of these have not necessarily filtered all
well,
the way
we haven't,
through.
Well, we haven't run them through the filter, but
the couple that we thought of didn't.
I thought they did.
Well, okay, pause.
I thought you didn't, and then you examined it, and then they kind of did.
I don't know.
Well, we had a conversation about dramatic play and whether or not that actually fit the definition of play.
If
I decide I want to use the broom to sweep the floor and somebody lets me do that and I can be done when I'm done, I'm not expected to do it until it's quote-unquote done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sweeping is seen somehow as more important than getting the floor actually clean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then this still all qualifies as play. And at the end of the day, I got to have 10 more minutes of learning how to use this tool.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I can go there. I'm more there when the kid decides to pick up the broom on their own than
they're only going to decide to pick up the broom on their own if the broom is ever left in eyesight to where they see that that's even a tool that might be an option, or well, that they've actually seen an adult use it.
And for me, that's a different thing than me handing them the broom. Me putting a broom in the environment and letting them discover it and use it is different than me handing them the broom.
Huh. And my angle is, if I use the broom willingly without making it look like I'm doing something for you, they're going to see that I'm doing something. Not like I'll just whistle while you work. Not like all happy, happy, happy. But like, you need a broom, you got to clean shit up. And eventually somebody's been like, hey, I can do it. And I'll be like, all right, here you go. But they saw me do it, perhaps. Not everybody's going to know what a broom does just because it's in the space.
And if they have a chance to interact with it, they'll figure it out. I mean, we know from, wasn't it Allison Gapnick and somebody at MIT, they did the research that when you introduce a new thing to kids, they figure it out better and know it deeper when they figure it out for themselves than when they have it demonstrated for them, right? I thought it was her lab, but
true. But I'm okay.
But aren't some kids bringing knowledge either from like a relative's house, their own house, or something they saw on TV? How to use that object that is in the environment.
I would also argue, although I haven't read that recently, is that they were open-ended things that might have other ways of being used versus a broom, which
if you think a broom only has one way of being.
Well, I don't because now we're going back. Right, I can smack your ass with this broom. I can ride this broom to the moon, and now we're engaging in imaginative play, fantasy play.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Well, and so I think just for me, I totally get and agree with where you're coming
right.
from.
But it's our job to push each other.
Peerer, I'd rather just put the broom in the space and let them be the discoverer of it and the figurer outer of it, and they will figure out that a broom can sweep eventually after they've hit everybody in the class with it and rode on it like a horse and tried to paint with it and all those kind of things. And most of them have seen somebody sweep. Maybe
that's not true.
Maybe not in real life, but in a video game or in a movie or something.
Or because I swept up after
they observed you. Yeah.
Well, sure. But you sweeping and then handing them the broom and saying, want to turn?
No, I would never do that. I would be just using the thing and then putting it back where it goes. And at some point, somebody's going to say, can I do that? And I'm going to be like, sure.
And see, I just put it in the environment and walk away from it. And then somebody would discover it and
figure
it out.
Somebody else was sweeping up after lunch?
Because you got other shit in the environment and you're being mindful about what you're putting in your space.
I'm just
saying,
you're trying
to put novel stuff in your space.
I'm saying if it's only me in the environment and I'm using the broom to use the broom what it's for, i.e. sweeping up after snack because there's pretzels all over the floor, at some point somebody's going to say, I want to do that. And I'm going to be like, go for it. Which they've only maybe said because they've seen me do it.
Not because it's just been there. I said three times I agree with you.
No, but the way you just said that last thing made me think that you were implying that you had to hand it to somebody.
Well, no. I would just put that you're... No.
Okay. If
that's what I said or what you heard, I apologize.
Ah, and that was three episodes ago.
Okay.
Play exploring ways of being, although not normally of an intense personal, social, domestic, or interpersonal nature. Brushing a broom, dialing with a telephone, driving a car. What's dialing a telephone?
Yeah,
no, I'm
exactly.
Just, no, don't, because that'll get us
we'll
off
have to
on
Google
a tangent.
No, what this is I like the see what it feels like. They're testing things out. And it's not being a character doing a thing. It's just doing the thing. What are you doing? I'm laying here pretending like I'm dead. That's this type of play. I'm grandma, and we're playing funeral, and I'm the dead grandma. That's sociodramatic.
Yes.
Just laying there with their hands crossed over their chest. And I've seen kids do this, too. Just laying there.
I'm the dead girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, so that is a subtly, like these last ones, as we've fleshed out this list.
So
that's
driving the car.
Different.
We're not going over the moon. It's not going through lava.
Yeah, I'm not grandma.
And you're just
I'm not yourself.
I'm just not mom going to the grocery store.
I'm just driving.
Oh, and kids do that, too.
I'm doing the thing.
Yeah, I've seen them do it in our program where, I mean, it's just the four kids and they're all themselves. No one's been named somebody else and they drive somewhere.
So here's the thing that nothing is mentioned in our definitions. Are there props that facilitate, direct this? Or is a child perhaps still engaging in some kind of a
imaginary?
Hold on. Where I'm pretending something that is happening. A fantasy play.
Fantasy, sorry. Yep.
So can I still be Lisa pretending to drive a car? I'm just Lisa, but my hands are mimicking driving it. There's not like a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be.
Doesn't.
Would that be role-playing? Would that be also then...
Yes, because you'd have to imagine or
fantasy
fantasize.
Play would be fantasy and perhaps role-playing at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm driving you to the grocery store. Get in.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just throwing out scenarios.
Well, you got it totally in my grill today.
No, I just said, I mean, yeah.
Or you're driving the car and you're pretending the fantasizing with the steering wheel's there, and then you get out and pat the dog, so then you got imaginary play going
on.
Or
is this more if you're sitting in the front seat of your real car because somebody let you sit and you're actually touching the steering wheel, and in your brain, you're little Lisa driving the car?
This is both of those things.
Yes, might be both.
This is as long as you're not yelling at the kids to, mom says be quiet, yelling at the kids in the back seat, because this is without that
intense,
social
personal relationship.
And so this is just, it's kind of,
I'm interacting with a real thing.
This is kind of almost like you're a crash test dummy or a mannequin doing these things. You're doing these things without the personality and flair that sociodramatic and fantasy has.
And okay, so I'm going back up to exploratory play. It's interacting with an actual real thing. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm interacting with something that I might be pretending is another thing, or I'm wondering just how this thing works. I'm using this thing for the intended purpose of this thing as a 5-year-old.
It says that?
I'm not saying it said that.
Oh, no. That's
play exploring.
But that's why I'm asking. That's what I heard you say.
Well,
so
that's what I'm thinking this interpretation is.
But I'm thinking that they can take a block and pretend to wash the tables with a block, pretend like they're washing the table with a block.
No, I think
the words?
Yeah, well, you couldn't really be driving a car. Play exploring ways of being, although not normally of an intense personal, social, domestic, or interpersonal nature. For example, brushing with a broom, dialing a telephone, driving a car. All of those things could be happening. Well, a kid couldn't really be driving a car, but they could be sitting in the front seat.
Or they could be sitting with a round block or a bucket lid pretending to drive a car. Or they could have a block in their hand and be pretending it's a sponge and they're wiping the table.
Sorry, this makes for a really bad pod because my brain is wondering if this is the play where something is standing for something else, or if this is when you're actually using a thing.
This is both of those things. You can be using a thing, or it can be symbolic play, and they're not really going to be driving a car.
But I could be pretending that I'm driving
yes,
a car,
you could
but
be
I'm
that
really
or
touching a real steering wheel of a
and
car.
And you could be sitting in the playroom in a chair with a bucket lid.
With a bucket lid.
Or you could have that sponge block, the wooden block as a sponge and wiping the table. You don't really have to, you don't need the real thing. You don't need the real dead body to pretend like you're dead. But
although that would be awesome.
Be
where's
awesome.
Berta? What was her name? Berta? Bertha?
You have to dig that up in the past episodes. What I really liked, the trying on an identity, status, personality, and activity. Now, I really like the trying on of personality, because kids will do this, and I do see this as a separate type of play. They'll try on different personalities. I'm going to be a mean girl today. And they go through those stages where they try on different personalities and the way you develop your own personality, I guess, is
to role play
play with personality a little bit. And so this kind of role play gives them again, play is a safe haven, and so this kind of role play gives them hopefully. Well, if it's play, it is.
Yeah.
It gives them a safe haven to try on different personalities and different traits.
I agree with you. I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking through, not to like prove you wrong, but just to see how it might blend with
be a bonus. That would be frosting on the donut. No, but trying on the identity. I'm a sweeper. I'm a driver. And again, it's your verbing the noun.
And that's a little bit of fantasy play. But maybe there's an actual real prop, even if it's an imaginary prop or a pretend prop, that still is going to... I'm trying to maybe show how it's not exclusive of the other types of play, I think is my goal here in this conversation, is that none of these stand alone. Role-playing is still going to dabble in fantasy play. It's still going to dabble in perhaps symbolic play, right? I'm pretending that this block is a sponge. That's symbolic play.
Yes.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
But well, the fantasy. I guess you can go there, but I wouldn't. I mean,
it's
you can have this without the without the lack of intense. What's that first part? Lack of intense.
No, that's not fantasy play. This is just where I get to imagine.
No, of role play.
Exploring ways of being, although not normally of an intense personal, social, domestic, or interpersonal nature.
So I think that kind of separates this a little bit more from the socio-dramatic, especially. I mean, you can have the fantasy without those bits
and
pieces,
I think. I'm driving a car that's really a trash can.
Or maybe it's I'm driving a spaceship.
Right.
Because you're trying on
a different role.
Yeah. And so, but it's without the drama behind that of the whole play scenario. And maybe this is this more solitary?
That's what I was thinking. That kid that, you know, isn't able or doesn't want to join in a group. They're just kind of off to their side doing
that's
their own.
Actually a really, really, really kind of interesting bit of feedback. Because even the examples that they provide are independent and solitary.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Which is why I still want to know how this filters through Sarah Smolansky's and Brian Sutton Smith. I just want to know if there's a common denominator with all of this stuff, or if somebody has unintentionally or intentionally, like, ruled somebody else's play theory out, or if there's room, you know.
Or they read someone else's and this came
out of
from
that,
it.
Right? Mm-hmm. We used to say, like, here's Howard Gardner's theory of intelligences, and here's multiple intelligences, and here, oh, no, sorry, that's his. But then here's the, you know, the visual auditory kinesthetic idea of intelligences. And, you know, at some point you kind of go, where does this all overlap, and how much research have we been replicating and duplicating, and why do we keep trying to add? I don't know. I just get frustrated. Like, we've got so much data. Why do we need more?
If you've ever been to Lisa's place, she's got a wall of dry erase board that's just full of calculations. She's trying to come up with a unified theory of play.
I need somebody who's really good at calculus.
Well, you got to do some more symbolic play to start with, and then work your way up. We got more on this?
Not on role play. I like that you Googled. Now, of course, I'm going, we missed out on 10 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah, because the series needed to be longer.
No, because we didn't add that layer of whatever you might have found if you had Googled with the other 14. And other listeners right now are going, oh, no. Actually, we're really glad that we did not
play time revisit to be a section 7C.
Maybe next year we'll redo all, we'll go through the whole series again.
Maybe next year I'll just teach a class somewhere online.
We can set that up at Playvolution HQ anytime you want. So we good with these? I think it is a subtly different thing than the sociodramatic and the fantasy. And now it doesn't mean there's not crossover or they can't be two at one, but
well, they could start out driving a car and then it turns into all those other categories.
And again, maybe this
So was I oversimplifying it by saying it's when a child is verbing a noun?
I don't know, other than that it sounds dirty and it kind of turns
me off.
No,
but reread when they're brushing a broom or well, they say brushing with a broom, but brushing a broom, dialing a phone, driving a car, you know, washing with a sponge.
Sacrificing a goat.
Stop it.
Well, I mean.
Yes.
Don't judge them. Don't judge that child.
I'm guessing that role playing is perhaps when a child is like practicing doing the actions that they're seen around them by the other adults. So they might not be like going, "Hi, I'm Cinderella doing this." They're just doing it, but they're bringing a playful energy to it.
And can this be And again, there's no talk in there about it being preparatory and everything for, or there being a hierarchy here. But is this practice for maybe more complex play later on? You practice at the sweeping and the driving and those kind of things, and then you can actually integrate those things into, you can add a personality to those things so that you're dad driving the car or
right.
dad sweeping
yes.
with the broom. So I mean,
the sociodramatic and mm-hmm. the fantasy.
Yeah,
perhaps.
This
yep.
to
yes.
me is a little stepping stone to those kind of things, and I'm not sure that it is, but in my head at the
that's
moment,
only
that's
because
where
we haven't I haven't read the book
yeah,
and told
that's
you.
Yeah, because Lisa hasn't read the book and told me what to think yet.
Shut up.
No, I mean that's pretty much the way I live my life.
Oh, stop.
It's so much easier. Which I mean, it's not just you, but so what else we got to throw? We're gonna wrap this one.
I think we're ready to wrap this up. We'll come back with the last one, 16, and then do a really quick recap of the 15 prior, and then dive into recapitulative play.
So we've squeezed, squozen all the juice out of this lime. Back soon with another episode.
Adios.
That just ruined it.
Sorry.
Bye-bye.
It's on you. Say something.
I'm going to come over and pinch you if you don't say it.
It. Bye-bye.
Oh, he's going to pinch you. Oh, and I don't like that. It hurts like hell.
You like it.
No, I don't.
You like it.
I do.
And this is a...
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.